Let me start this message with asking you a question. Has it cost you anything for becoming a follower of Jesus Christ? Has it cost you anything to become a Christian? For many of us who live in the West, I know that there are not many that they can say that, yes, I had to lose this of becoming a follower of Christ or to becoming a Christ. But throughout the world, there are so many different people on everyday basis. They have to lose so much. It costs them so much for following Christ with their life. Thinking about the experience of different Muslim friends that they have come to Christ, and because of that, they had to disown by their family. They have to leave everything behind. Some of them, they cannot have even relationship with their parents, with their siblings. They cannot meet with them just because they have become the followers of Christ. Thinking about Chinese, some people that in that part of the world, if they become believers, if they become Christians, then they have to pay the price for that. Some of them can be put to jail, and they cannot have similar situation, cannot have relationship with their family, they cannot meet with them, and they have to pay the price of following Christ. Think about Christians who are mistreated, persecuted throughout the world on everyday basis just because they call themselves Christians. In Acts chapter 5, we learn about the apostles of Christ Jesus who were willing to bear a great cost rather than compromising on preaching the gospel. We see a common thread in this in the beginning of book of Acts. We see the triumph of the gospel message after the day of Pentecost. We also observe the apostles' boldness of in the midst of hostility, in the midst of pressure from the religious authorities, but they stood steadfast in preaching the gospel, in witnessing Christ, what Christ told them. In the book of Acts, starting from the first chapter in verse 8, we know that Jesus Christ, on the day of his ascension, he met with his disciples, and Jesus Christ promised with them that these apostles, that they will receive the power when the Holy Spirit has come upon them, and they will be his witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And we see that pattern from chapter 2 onwards, and now we are in chapter 5, that the apostles were sincere witnesses of Christ. They took those words very, very importantly, and they made sure that they have been witnesses of Jesus Christ. We see in the following chapters that as Jesus commanded them, without any fear, without any doubt, they remained steadfast. They were truly the great witnesses of Christ, filled with the Holy Spirit and empowered with the Holy Spirit. If you have been with us, as Pastor Allen has already mentioned, that we are going through this short series from the book of Acts where we are looking on different sermons that shook the society. In chapter 2, we have examined that on the day of Pentecost, Apostle Peter delivered his first sermon that shook the conscious of his listeners. The Bible tells us that after listening to Peter, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" We read this in Acts chapter 2, verse 37. Then again in chapter 3, we see that Peter seizes another opportunity to preach after healing a lame beggar. The crowd gathers around Peter and John as he delivers his second sermon. challenging their preconceptions. We see a significant change in Peter's approach here when he was preaching in chapter 2, when he was preaching in chapter 3, or even when we see that he preaches in chapter 5. Peter was a different man. After being empowered and filled with the Holy Spirit, he became fearless and bold in his devotion to the Lord and preaching the gospel. Peter, we know that he denied Jesus Christ 3 times. We know that he was a fisherman by trade. But here in the book of Acts, after being empowered with the Holy Spirit, he was preaching and teaching even to the teachers of the day. He was fearlessly and bluntly telling the religious leaders that they were responsible for Jesus' crucifixion. We see a great change in the approach of the apostles as well, because God equipped them and empowered them for his work. Last week, Brother David showed us Peter's sermon that shook the authorities from Acts chapter 4. Consequently, the apostles were given a stern warning. The authorities charged them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. In response, we know that Peter and John posed a question to the religious leaders, saying to them whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God. You must be the judge. In these chapters, the apostles remained steadfast in their testimony, declaring that Jesus Christ is the promised Messiah, and God had raised him and exalted him at the right hand. This testimony would have greatly encouraged the first readers of the book of Acts. It would have a great encouragement to Theophilus as well, to whom Luke wrote these truths. It would have given them certainty about the risen Messiah. In today's text, as we look at chapter 5, it serves as an encouraging reminder for all of us. It reminds us to boldly proclaim the gospel to people from all nations without changing the true message, even in the face of hostility, persecution from the government or from others. Let's look at these verses, and we will look at these verses under 2 main headings. The first one is the boldness and the fearfulness of the apostles in the midst of hostility. The boldness and the fearfulness fearlessness of the apostles in the midst of hostility. And secondly, we see God's decisive intervention to sustain the apostles in persecution for the furtherance of the gospel. So let's see the first step, point, and we will look into verses 12 to 16. In our Bible, we have already read these verses, and I will give you a few verses as we go along. But in these verses, we already know that the apostles were doing God was using them for his honor and for his glory. In fact, verse 12 tells us that now many signs and wonders were regularly done amongst the people. We know that God used the apostles in the book of Acts by showing the signs and wonders, and those signs and wonders were especially for the nation of Israel, that they may believe that God has sent the promised Messiah, and he is here. The time is here to hear the message, repent from our sins, and follow Christ, because Messiah has arrived. People came not only from Jerusalem, but also from the surrounding regions to seek help from the apostles. The Bible tells us that so many people came to them, and they all were healed. We also see in verse 14, and more than ever, believers were added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women. So many good things were happening. God was using his apostles after as he empowered, as Jesus Christ promised, and God was showing that power through these apostles, that people were getting healed, people were coming to Christ. And it was not only that, that people were coming to Christ just because of that they were getting their relatives or they were getting healed, but they were coming to Christ just because of the message that Apostle Peter was preaching as well, that Jesus Christ has died on the cross. He has been crucified by these religious leaders, and God has exalted him. He has resurrected. He is not in his tomb anymore, but he is resurrected. So this was the message that was changing the lives of people, and so many were coming to Christ. So people were pouring out to the apostles. They were all healed. More and more people became believers in the Lord. When the religious authorities saw this, they became filled with jealousy, the Bible tells us. They became filled with jealousy, malice, and resentment toward the apostles because of their growing popularity and the spread of the Christianity. As a result, the apostles were arrested and locked in a public prison. The authorities thought that they had solved the problem by putting these apostles in the prison. But we see God intervened in that situation. Look at with me in verse 19. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, "Go and stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life." I want you to notice a few important phrases in these verses. First of all, see that I want you to also notice the response of the apostles, how they responded to this message. They said in verse 21, "And when they heard this, they entered the temple at daybreak and began to teach." The apostles did not attempt to avoid the opposition, nor did they consider going undercover for a while to let the things cool down, because they knew that what Pharisees were thinking about them. They have already given them stern warnings that don't preach in this name. But when the angel of the Lord came in the prison and helped them to come out of the prison, they did not think that, okay, now we have got freedom. This is the sign from God that we should go undercover. We should go and hide somewhere for some time. But they heed the words the angel told them. Remember, it had not been long since the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. The apostles had witnessed Jesus Christ's trial and execution. They knew what could be the consequences of preaching the gospel. They knew they could even lose their life. Yet they remained bold and fearless in the face of hostility. We also notice that the apostles were encouraged to preach the whole message of the gospel. Verse 20, we see this in verse 20b, where the angel tells them that go and stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life. This means they were asked to teach others the life and salvation that Jesus gives them, that Jesus provides. They were asked to teach that Jesus Christ is the author of life. As a result of his resurrection, Jesus can give everlasting life. The angel's message served as a reminder for the apostles not to leave out any part of the message that had caused them trouble previously. They were urged to persist in their efforts despite facing opposition. Dear brothers and sisters, I wonder how we react when we face hostility, when we face resentment from others because of our faith or because of believing or preaching the gospel. How many times in our society that we are asked that we need to change this message. We need to not exactly say that Jesus Christ has died on the cross and because of him we can go to heaven. He is the only way. How many times we are told that no, it needs to be more exclusive. There are so many other people, so many other religions that they preach and there are different ways to go to God. So why can't we be more, why can't we go easy on that? And we remember that there are other people as well. Do we remain steadfast, unmovable, fearless, and bold in proclaiming the true message of the gospel? As the angel said to the apostles, go and preach the words of this life. Go and preach all the words of this life. Do we remember to preach all the words of life when we have the opportunity? Or do we try to be more, we are more helpful towards that we are not saying exactly as the Bible teaches? Do we boldly and fearlessly share the gospel? Or do we compromise and omit some of the gospel message? In the world we live in, it is easier to compromise. It is easier to think that we don't want to lose our friends. It's easier that we don't want to offend our family members. We don't want to offend our colleagues. But is it right in the eyes of God if we are trying to omit the message? The apostles were fearless. They were bold because they believed in the life-changing and life-giving message of Christ. After witnessing how God rescued them from the prison, they had no fear of the religious leaders. They went straight to the temple at the daybreak and began to teach. On the other hand, we see that the influential and powerful leadership of Israel started to gather to find a solution to this problem. The high priest, the council, and the religious leaders sent a message to the prison officer or to the captain that bring the apostles to them. We see in verse 24 that now when the captain of the temple and the chief priest heard these words, they were greatly perplexed about them, wondering what this would come to. The captain of the temple and the chief priest were perplexed and had no clue where the apostles had disappeared. In verse 25, and someone came and told them, the apostles are standing in the temple and teaching the people. In verse 27 to 33, Luke narrates the interrogation of the apostles before the Sanhedrin. Probably it was the same place where Peter and John had stood a few weeks ago and where Jesus Christ stood for his trial as well. In verse 28, we read that, starting from verse 27, and when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest questioned them, saying, we strictly charged you not to teach in this name, yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you intend to bring this man's blood upon us. It shows that it was a quite serious trial. The religious leaders and the council and the high priest, the Sanhedrin, everyone was there. It was a similar sort of trial as it was for Jesus Christ. And it was the highest court. It was like a Supreme Court of Israel. And it was a serious, because apostles had deliberately disobeyed the earlier warnings and the charge that they were given. And they also were making religious leaders responsible for the death of Jesus Christ. But notice their response from Peter in verse 29. Peter says, but Peter and the apostles answered, we must obey God rather than men. We must obey God rather than men. And I think we need to remember this phrase in each and every area of life, where it is not only about preaching the gospel, it is not only about sharing our faith, but it is about in every area of life, are we remembering to obey God, or are we willing to follow our friends or other men? Apostle Peter, speaking for the 12 apostles, state that we apostles are obligated to obey God. We have been commanded to preach and teach the words of this life. And most recently, God sent an angel and he told us the same message. Preach the words of this life. And we must obey God. We are not in the business of obeying you. We are in the business of obeying God. In verses 30 to 32, Peter explains the reason the apostles are convinced that they should be obeying God rather than men. In verse 30, we see that the God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. It is interesting that it is about the similar charge. It is about they are asking him the same question, what he has been preaching, what they have been telling other people. And again, Peter, on their face, he is saying, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. We see three important things here, that the reason Apostle Peter thought that this is the reason that we are going to obey God. We are not going to obey you. First of all, he says that because God has raised Jesus Christ, right? So it is not just like a historical fact. It is not just a myth, but God of our forefathers, God of Abraham, Isaac, he has raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And Pharisees and Sadducees, you are here, you must know this better. You must know that Jesus Christ is raised from God. How important it is that when God has raised Jesus Christ, we must obey God, we must obey this message. And not only that God has raised him, he has made him a savior. He has made him a savior to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And another reason that we are here to obey God, because God has raised him, and also through him that God has given repentance to Israel, that all the Israelites, we can repent in the name of Jesus, what he has done on the cross. Because of his death, because of his burial and resurrection, we can ask repentance to God from our sins and we can enter in the kingdom of God. And this is the reason that we are willing to obey God, not you. So it also signifies that Jesus Christ's death and resurrection are not the events that we hear or they happen. It really, really happened. It has done, and it has left a mark on us. Peter says that God has exalted Jesus and has made him a prince and savior. He has given him authority and he is seated on the right hand. Perhaps Peter wants the religious leaders to understand that even though they considered Jesus Christ nothing, they considered Jesus Christ as a criminal, but see how important he is in the eyes of God. How important he is that God has raised him because of his redemptive work on the cross. Thus, God has given him a place of exaltation. God has given him the place of exaltation. It's not about you, what you think about him. It is about God, what God thinks about Jesus. So as a result of Jesus' exaltation, Israel not only has the access of the forgiveness of sins, but also they can repent from their sins. And we see that how Peter closes. We also know that he says in the next verses that it is not about just like we have here, but we have witnessed all this through Jesus. In verse 32, he says, and we are witnesses to these things. And so in the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. So Peter and the other apostles, other disciples of Jesus, they had a close relationship with Jesus Christ, and they saw all those things. They lived with Jesus, they walked with Jesus, they ate with Jesus, and they heard the messages from Jesus Christ as well when he was preaching and when he was teaching. So Peter is saying that we have seen all these things, what I am telling you, in the life of Christ as well, that he showed us when we were with him. And when speaking to the Sanhedrin, he emphasized that he and the other apostles had personally witnessed of these events. Additionally, it is not only us, but the Holy Spirit is the witness as well. Notice in verse 32, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. He mentioned that the Holy Spirit also served as a witness. And what we are telling you, it is the Spirit of God saying or speaking through us. It is not our testimony, but the Holy Spirit of God is with us as well. So believe in what we are saying. We learn in the Gospel of John chapter 14 verse 26, where Jesus said, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." In Matthew chapter 10 verse 19, we read, "When they deliver you over, do not be anxious how you are to speak or what you are to say, for what you are to say will be given to you in that hour." And this was happening when Peter and the apostles, they were in front of this council, in front of the Sanhedrin. The Holy Spirit of God was teaching them, telling them what to say. In the Old Testament, in the book of Daniel, we read a similar situation, a similar story, in a sense that there were three friends like the apostles. They chose to obey God rather than men. We are familiar with the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were under pressure from the authorities to worship Nebuchadnezzar's golden image and to worship false gods. However, they refused and told the king, "Our God, whom we serve, can deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand. But if not, still we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up." It is worth pondering how we respond in situations where we have to choose between pleasing people or obeying God. Maybe in our workplace, sometimes the conversations people have in the canteen, we need to decide whether we want to be a part of that conversation or not, or we need to leave the room. Maybe there are some things from the workplace that we are forced to obey, otherwise we can lose our job. So we need to decide whether I am going to obey my employer or I am going to obey my God. Are we like the apostles and Peter, what they believed? Do we have the same conviction as Peter has about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ? And we can see that in his preaching. We can see that in their boldness, that they were not afraid of the people. And they believed in it, that yes, the Holy Spirit of God is with them, and the Holy Spirit of God has empowered them. Do we have the same conviction in our hearts as well? The religious leaders told them that because of the message that you are preaching, it has gone throughout Jerusalem. Do we have a heart to pray that this message of the gospel may go around in Glasgow? And the authorities are asking us, they are standing outside on the door, and they are saying that because of the message that the Harper Church is preaching, it has got convicted all the people from their sin, and people are coming to Christ. Do we have that heart to pray and ask God that may God fill the city of Glasgow with the gospel message? Are we like Daniel's friends? They did reject to worship the false god because they believed that God is able to save them even in that fiery furnace. Do we have the same heart that God is able, that he can give us safety if he wants, and even if he doesn't, if we are in a situation where we can lose our life just because believing and preaching the gospel, then we are willing to die. Christ, our God, he is able to save us, but if he doesn't, still we are going to follow him. Believers in Christ should boldly declare in every aspect, in every area of their life, that I am going to obey God rather than man. It takes us to our second point, that is God's decisive intervention to sustain the apostles in persecution for the furtherance of the gospel. Look at with me in verse 33 in your Bibles. When they heard this, they were enraged and wanted to kill them. But a Pharisee in the council named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, held in honor by all the people, stood up and gave orders to put the men outside for a little while. And he said to them, "Men of Israel, take care what you are about to do with these men. For before these days, Thaddeus rose up, claiming to be somebody, and a number of men, about 400, joined him. He was killed, and all who followed him were dispersed and came to nothing." I want you to notice in this hostile situation where the religious leaders had the authority and power to kill all the apostles, but God intervened and saved their lives so the message of the gospel may go further. It is important to notice that the apostles faced persecution and many were later on killed as well. But we see in chapter 5 here in the book of Acts, we see the mighty hand of God protecting and shielding them from the aggressive Sanhedrin. God used this Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law who spoke in the favor of the apostles. He was an influential teacher. In fact, he was a teacher of Apostle Paul as well. The Pharisees were quite influential people in their society. They were teachers, and many of the people followed them. On the other hand, the Sadducees had power and political influence. So this Gamaliel, he was a Pharisee. So he was a religious teacher. Even though the Sadducees had more power than the Pharisees, but still they were considered on the importance because of their teaching. And because of their teaching, there were so many followers that they would follow and hear the Pharisees. So this was the reason in this council, they gave the opportunity to Gamaliel, the Pharisee, that let him say what he has to say, and they were willing to hear to him. Josephus writes that because of the popularity of the Pharisees, the Sadducees would not oppose them openly because they did not want the Pharisees to turn on them. If they turned on them, the people would turn on them as well. So, in the case of Gamaliel, they were willing to listen and give attention to his advice. Verse 35, "Men of Israel, take care what you are about to do with these men." He suggested the Sanhedrin how they should proceed to this. He suggests to them that you should be careful. You should be careful what you are going to do here. He knows exactly what they propose to do. He tells them to act wisely. Put your feet on the brake. He wants the Sanhedrin to consider the consequences of such actions. We have read in the beginning of this chapter that the many things were happening. There were so many people were coming to Christ. Signs and wonders, God was using those, and because of that, the apostles were quite popular. So the apostles were gaining popularity in Jerusalem and in the surrounding regions. So Gamaliel warns them that the execution of these leaders might provoke their supporters. It could lead a violent action and protest. He also argues that we shouldn't worry too much about these people, about these men, as there were other people, other popular movements in the past as well that ended in disaster. And he gave example of Thaddeus and Judas of Galilee. In verses 36 and 37, he gave the example of Thaddeus claimed that he was somebody, and about 400 had some followers, but after they died, their movement died as well, and those who followed them were scattered. Gamaliel's point was that if the plan of these apostles is of human origin, it will fail. However, if this movement is from God, then the Sanhedrin will not be able to stop them. They would be fighters against God. It wasn't a wise advice because there are so many movements. Those are not from God. Those are cult movements. Maybe thinking about Jehovah Witness, Islam, Hinduism, Sikhism. And there are so many that we can name them. Those movements are not from God, but still those movements are successful from the worldly level because there are so many people, they follow those movements. However, we see in this particular situation that God used this Pharisee, Gamaliel, to protect his people, to protect the apostles, as the member of the Sanhedrin gave heed to his advice and abandoned their plan to kill him. In verse 40, it says that, "And when they had called in the apostles, they beat them and charged them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go." The Sanhedrin ordered the apostles not to speak in the name of Jesus. We already have read that in chapter 4, in verses 18 and 21. In chapter 5, verses 28, they have said to them that don't preach in this name. However, the apostles did not fear the consequences of obeying the Sanhedrin on this matter. The next verse tells us that they were rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name of Christ. Bible commentator Ajit Fernando writes that this punishment and disgrace was an indicator of their worth. So they felt honored and honored by the dishonor. Their suffering allowed them to demonstrate their loyalty to Christ. In these verses, we see the apostles set a new dimension in the face of suffering. To suffer for Christ is an honor that causes joy. We also see God's sovereign plan here in this chapter. We see that God empowered the apostles to preach the gospel boldly, and he sustained them through the persecution for the furtherance of the gospel. It should give us encouragement. It should bless our heart, and we should be willing to preach the gospel unashamedly, without any fear, and not thinking about what the people will think, what the people will say, but whenever there is an opportunity, we should be willing to share the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ, because in his name is only salvation. It should encourage us to remain steadfast in our proclamation of the gospel. We must obey God rather than man. Let's pray. Dear precious Father in heaven, we thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the promise of the Holy Spirit that when the Holy Spirit will come, we will have the power to preach Jesus' name and to be witnesses of his name. God, please give us the boldness and send us into the world to preach the gospel persistently and fearlessly, without any compromise and without any fear. Dear Lord, I pray that each and every one of us may think about it, that are we really the sincere witnesses of the name of Jesus Christ? We have plenty of opportunities, Father, Lord, wherever we are. We have so many people that they are without Jesus Christ, that they do not believe in Jesus Christ, and many of them probably have not heard the gospel even once in their life. Father, Lord, please stir our hearts this evening. I ask that we may go out and we may be willing to share the gospel with others. We also learn from the life of apostles that they spent time with Jesus. They spent time with Jesus, and that's why that they were bold in their witness. Help us that we may remember that that we can have the same boldness, because the Holy Spirit of God is the same, but we need to spend time with God, with Jesus, in the Bible, that we may receive that boldness as well as the apostles had. Father, Lord, I pray that this message may be an encouragement, and it may be also a challenge for us, that we may not just be the hearer of your word, but we may also be the doer of your word, that what we have heard this evening from this chapter, we may learn this and we may apply these truths in our lives. We ask in Jesus' mighty and strong name. Amen.